Hi guys, I'm Raquel.
And I'm Ashley.
And together we are Dead Set Dags.
On today's episode, I have a complaint. Actually, I have a few complaints, and they're mostly about my husband. What are you doing?
Hey.
Kind of wish I had a wine, to be honest. Yeah. I'm just thinking about that now, but that's all right. I've got my water.
Yes, it is hydration. It is 37 degrees, so
yes, you know, so hot.
We just came back
from the pool, and it was great.
Bless. I need to jump in our pool, but I still feel it's too hot. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, fair enough.
I don't want to burn me.
How's your week been, love? Are you okay?
Oh, look, I've kind of blocked the week out this week, Ashley, because the Rona's hit again. Surprise. So the Omicron can fuck off. As everyone may know, I'm getting married in 2.5 weeks, and that can just fuck right off. So,
well, I hope when this episode airs that, you know, you got married.
I'm married.
I'm really, you know.
Yeah.
Same. I hope so.
Same. So we'll see.
Yeah, but so you're just a bit stressed.
Yeah, and I'm like, I've had a lot of wine this week. Like, you know, I don't really like to drink during the week because I'm a bit of a binge drinker, like a big sesh, not little seshes. So I've had a few wines this week, a few breakdowns at work. Everybody is very lovely, but, you know, whatever will be.
Okay, yes. Well.
How's your week been?
I don't have as much to stress about because I'm not getting married in 2.5 weeks, but I'm done. I am done with this week. I feel like, fuck off December. I'm ready just to do nothing. And we had our last week of school this week. Thank God. Like, I love my job. I love my kids. They're my babies. But with remote learning and lockdown this year, I'm so done, and I'm so ready to have family time, but also not really, because I'm so sick of Glenn right now.
Oh.
I just want to go to a cabin on the beach by myself. I feel like I love my son and I love my husband, but fuck me. He had his work party last night. Do you want me to tell you about that?
Yes, please, because I can just imagine. I love drunk Glenn. Glenn is my favorite. I know it doesn't help you, but it helps me my life. Anyway.
So, okay, I'll start with I picked him up, right? I'd been driving for 5 hours around all these places with over Sydney anyway, blah, blah, blah. Picked him up and actually, I don't know if this is too inappropriate to share.
Nah, nothing's off limits. And if it is, you can just edit it out.
Okay. Well, we won't tell Glenn that I said this, but he gets in the car. I haven't even told you this yet. He gets in the car, pulls the coffee cup out of the console, pisses in it in the back seat with Vinny watching him on the main street of Penrith. I'm like, put your dick away.
What the fuck? That's the best thing I've ever heard. Look, my motto is, when you gotta go, you gotta go.
No, and then he puts it out the window, and we drove past a cop, and he tossed the piss out of the window, and it went all over the car.
Oh,
and
Trevor.
I looked at him in the rearview mirror.
Seriously, nearly pulled over. He was so annoying. When he's drunk, he just, like, he's very cocky, and he's, like, not rude, but, like, a little bit rude.
And I was just... Oh, I just turned the music up really loud. It was like, don't speak to me. And then last night, he kept coming into the bedroom. I was watching Schitt's Creek on Netflix, and he just kept coming in and bugging me. And I was like, I actually just need a break away from you. Like, please fuck off.
Stop it. Oh my God.
You know, I just feel like boys are so dumb when they're drunk. He went motorbike riding down our paddock with no helmet and flipped the bike and bent the back of it. Like, oh my God.
Well, first of all, how is Glenn feeling today?
Who cares?
Hopefully he's not feeling too bad, but also self-inflicted. Two, boys are fucking stupid, because I just feel like when girls get drunk, they love each other, they chat, they dance on stripper poles, they have a good time. And when boys get drunk, they die. So they go out, they do dumb shit. And I'm like, this is why me and Gary can't have a farm, because Gary's the exact same. Like I was telling Gary this last night, and he was like, shit, that sounds like a good time. And I was like, no,
what Gary, Glenn this- did.
Yeah.
With the motorbike. Yes. Oh my God. No, I'm not encouraging this behavior.
And I just feel like this is why we can't have acreage, because Gary will just kill himself in the paddock. So boys.
Boys, bloody boys. And it's terrifying that I'm also raising one. So
yeah,
I just want to be by myself. I just want to go to a hotel and sleep in my own bed. I want my own space, because I haven't been getting comfortable in bed lately. I have to like lay sideways. That's how I fall asleep now. And so Glenn keeps taking photos of me when he comes to bed 3 hours later. He's a bit of a late nighter. He comes in, takes a photo of me, like rolls me off, you know, out of his way. But I'm not dealing with this whole queen bed situation. We're actually looking into getting two double beds, putting them next to each other, because we've got a huge bedroom.
Get a super king doll.
They're really long, like lengthwise, and both Glenn and I are really short. That's why we're like, two doubles would be cheaper and wider. So I don't know, but I miss sleeping by myself. And then that made me start thinking about all the other things I miss about being single.
Yeah.
And then that's why we started our polls for this week.
Yes, we did.
You can follow us on Instagram. Hopefully you voted on our polls. But, it all stemmed from me sleeping sideways in the bed. And Raquel, tell us about your weird feeling that also triggered
you. Yeah, look, guys, I just feel like I wanted to talk about commitment and being, in a partnership, because I am getting married in 2.5 weeks. And I've just been having this weird feeling, like, and it's not like a cold feet feeling. Like, it's not like, what the fuck am I doing? It's more like things are changing and I'm excited about that. But it's like, what does that look like for me? For me, I've always been super independent, and I know that's a bit of a cop out because everyone's like, I'm really independent, but independence for me is been a really big value for me. So like, I've really struggled in relationships to see myself as that partnership. So, and not in a selfish way, like, you know, Ashley, you know me, I'd give anyone the shirt off my back and I will do anything to make your life easier or whoever I love's life easier. But it's not that, it's more of like a control thing. For me to feel secure, I feel like I've got to be in control. And now that I'm getting married, and hopefully, you know, if that's what the universe wants for me, hopefully we'll start having kids and stuff soon. And like, that lack of control is going to be taken away from me. And I don't know if I like that bit of it. I guess I really thought that I wasn't a control freak. I thought I was super easygoing and I'll go with the flow. But I really realized that I'm a bit of a control freak when I gave you, Ashley, and the bridesmaids the go to plan the hens. I was dying. I was like, what are you guys doing? What's this? I need to know this. Yeah. I need to know that. Like, that really showed me that I need to be in control. So, yeah, so that's kind of stemmed for me. So I think this is going to be a really good avenue for me when we go through the polls to see what other people are feeling too, because is it normal? Like, I don't want to run away from the altar, runaway bride, but yeah,
we've spent too much money, darling.
Yeah, too much. We're having the fucking wedding.
No, and I'm really glad that we're going to have this chat today, because I was really thrown at your hens when we were getting ready, because I kept looking over at you and you kept crying. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? I'm a bit nervous about the wedding day now. I'm like, fuck me, I'm gonna have to have tissues all down my bra and just be whipping them out for Raquel. But you were very overwhelmed, I think.
Yeah, that's a good word. Like, it's very overwhelming. And especially coming from, like, you know, what I learned in life, in a sense of you know, my mum wasn't married to my dad. My mum has never been married. She's been single parent. And like, I've never seen marriage. So marriage for me is foreign. And I know that I'm the kind of person that will take situations and mold them into my own. Like, I know I can do that. And I like doing that, but it's really unknown around what I want in a marriage. So yeah. I haven't written my vows yet because I know I love Ooh. Gary and I know what I want to say, but I don't know what I want out of marriage. You know, I think marriage is super important to Gary. Like, I would have had children yesterday, but you know, marriage is important to Gary. His parents have been together for 30 plus years. And I think he values that. So of course, you know, being in a partnership, I value that too. And fuck me, you know, like a party. So, you know, so, but what for me, I need to figure out what the value is of marriage for me. Like, I know for Gary, it's stability and, you know, he's kind of a logical mind guy. He's an engineer. He can only think black and white sometimes, but you know, he sees marriage, kids, blah, blah, blah. That's what he sees. But with me, I'm a bit of a child of the earth. I'm like, oh, don't do whatever, whatever. So that was the wankiest thing I've ever said in my life. But anyway, you're welcome, guys. So yeah, so I don't know. I don't know what it means to me. Like, what did you, when you were getting married, Ash, like, what did you have, like, a weird feeling? Did you not? Was it just like, nah, this is it because Glenn's my person? Like, what was it like for you?
I was really nervous. I knew that Glenn, like, I knew that I wanted to marry him. I knew that he was, you know, who I needed to marry. He was my person. But I just was feeling really overwhelmed because I just thought, once I say I do, once I do that, you know, That's it. The idea of that was terrifying for me. Even though I knew I wanted to spend the rest of my life with him, it was like this, you know, huge commitment that you have to sign and, you know, people are celebrating and there's photographers. I mean, we eloped, so it was really freaking easy. But I just still felt this pressure. But on the morning of our wedding day, we both cooked each other breakfast in our little eloping cottage and I watched Bridesmaids on DVD and just chilled out. And I was quite chilled the day of because where we got married was just so peaceful. But, yeah, I felt like I was signing my life away and I will never be as independent as I have always been again.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, see, I get that. And it's like it's that thought of like signing away. And I know marriage has changed from those the old school values around, you know, religion and church. And because, you know, I'm never getting married in a church and, you know, I have my thoughts on religion, but, you know, that can be a different episode. But, and I know it's not going to be like that or, but yeah, that's what I can say about it at the moment.
Yeah. But, frazzled.
Frazzled. So should we get into our polls and see what other women have said?
Because, and even some men have joined in these polls, can I ask? Oh,
bless you.
Yeah, so I really like that. I feel like we need more of a male following.
More the male perspective, please.
Because, okay, so what triggered this? We wanted to see if other people felt the same way. Let's go to the Insta polls.
Yes.
Okay, so I talked earlier about Glenn taking photos of me sleeping. Sounds creepy, but he wanted to prove a point that I take up the whole bed and I snore and all the fun stuff, but who cares? I don't care. I'm having a good sleep. I don't care about anything. So I put this photo up on our Instagram just because it was hilarious. But do you know what I miss about being single? Just having the bed to my fucking I miss that so much. So our first poll that we put up was, well, this wasn't a poll, it's a question box. What's one thing you miss about single life? What's yours, Raquel?
What I really miss about single life is my ability to just think about me. So in a sense of if I want to go home to Port Macquarie for the weekend or if I want to go to Sydney, not that I have to ask permission because I'm sorry, Gary, I'll never ask your permission. I'm very firm on that, but I have to touch base. Like, it's like, oh, I'm doing this. What are you doing? Like, I have to be considerate and I hate that because not that I hate it, but it's like, if he's like, oh, we've got this, and I'm like, I hate that those conflicting events that come across, and we have to kind of be like, if my friends are having a thing and his friends are having a thing, then we kind of have to choose between that, where before I could be like, oh, I'm just going to my friend's thing, you know? So that's what I really miss about single life, is that ability to just do whatever without their say.
And I feel that. But I also feel like it's worsened a lot since having a child. So I felt like that before kids, but now with kids, it's like, oh my God, I have to ask permission to go to port, go see my family, because obviously I'm taking a child that is half not mine. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Glenn wants to know, he wants to be in the loop. He wants to be asked. He wants to help pick the weekend, help pick the time so that he can, you know what I mean? Like, it's just electrified as a parent.
Absolutely.
But I just love some of these responses from other people to the question.
What they say.
You know. That's why. Okay, some of them are a bit R-rated. But anyway, so the first one is, my own space in bed. Yep, agree. I hear your sister. Sleeping alone, I hear you too. That new exciting feeling when meeting someone for the first time.
See, which I hate, I don't that
really care. That's a good one. A lot of people feel that way, and a few people did say that, but me personally, I'm like, hey, fuck, I'm
the same. I'm the same. I'm like, no, yuck. Oh, it's like that weird, oh my God.
Yeah.
Side note, when me and Gary were doing the questionnaire for the celebrant, there were some questions she asked us about, like, when we first met. And when me and Gary first met, he added me on Facebook. Sneaky. And we would like go through Messenger, and I went scrolled right back. Like, the best thing about technology is that your whole story is usually like written for you in that.
Yeah.
And I like scrolled back to the beginning, and yuck, I could have cringed, like, the way we were talking to each other. Like, and I'm not a lovey-dovey person in a sense. Like,
I want to read these messages. Oh my God. Please.
When I see you in 2.5 weeks for the wedding, I have to show you.
And yes, like, please.
I'm not a PDA kind of person. Like, I love Gary, and of course we're together when we go out, we hold hands or whatever, but you know, I'm not over the top. And the way I was talking to him was just like cringe, and he was talking to me cringe. And he was like, where would you like to go somewhere? Like, and I was like, oh, I don't mind sushi. And he's like, oh yeah, cool. Like, I don't know. Yuck. I think about it makes me. I can't.
That's so funny. Yeah. Well, the next one is my favorite, and I feel like you'll miss this too. You miss this too. The free drinks at the bar. You know, when you like, you lead someone on, so they buy you heaps of drinks, and then you know what I mean? Like, I miss that too. Another one, my alone time, watching a TV show by myself for myself. I do this a lot still. I really make time for that. That's something that I really struggled with. At the start of our relationship, but then we figured it out. We got a second TV. We made sure we made time for that because, that's important. But I know a lot of couples either only have one TV or really like that's their time together, watching TV when you're both working. That's kind of your time together. So that's a really valid one as well. Having the freedom to do as I want without thinking of someone else. Oh, without thinking of someone else.
Yeah.
I know this sounds selfish, but it's not. Like, just not having to worry about anyone else other than yourself. Oh,
absolutely.
You know, we've got a lot of ones about independence, putting myself first, being selfish in my daily choices and not feeling guilty about it. Wild sex with strangers.
Oh, you do you, doll.
Well, I did not write that one. I'll just clarify.
I mean, yeah, to who wrote that? Fair enough.
I don't know if I miss that so much. I mean, like,
I definitely don't.
No, that was I felt like she's also put a sweating, dripping face next to it, and I'm like,
enough. Yeah. Look, and I think I've said this on the podcast before, like, you know, sorry Gary, but I'm not the most best sexual being. Like,
I'm pretty sure you've said this in each of our podcast episodes.
Like, poor Gary. Like, but I just, effort. So much effort.
Can't breathe. Okay, another one. This is from a male, okay? This one's from a male. Unlimited leisure time. Sounds selfish, I know. But no, I don't think that's selfish.
I think we need to reframe this selfishness thing because, like, you know, I said it in my – I had to, like, second – like guess myself in just what I said in the beginning around, and not in a selfish way. And I was like, well, fuck, like, I think we need to change the word selfish. I don't know what we change it to, but we need to change it because selfish is such a negative connotation. Like selfish is like somebody who only thinks about them and doesn't care about others. But I don't know, if you're being selfish for your self-care, then that's thinking of others. Like, I don't know, that's just a little food for thought.
Yeah, I agree. The next story was just like, are you single, in a relationship, engaged, married? Most of our followers are married. We've only got a few that are single, but maybe people just didn't vote. But yeah, that surprised me. Then the next question was, if you are single, what do you love about being single? And so we had, you know, not having to compromise on anything. I always have time for myself, being able to be spontaneous and make plans without consulting anyone first, choosing my own business, fuck I want without having to tell anyone, having my own space and loving it, not having to answer to someone, freedom and independence. Not sharing a bed, not having anyone on my ass about anything, and not wanting to rip my hair out every damn day.
That's a good one.
So, yeah, I feel like that was a really interesting one because it's been a while since we've been single.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was sticky what people love about it. Not that I would want to be single because I feel like I don't want... I mean, people should know us by now that we're not complaining. Well, we are. We are definitely.
We are complaining. Fucking complaining.
but we're not saying, I don't want to get married, or I don't want to be married, I don't want to be a mum. We're not saying that. We're just saying it should be okay to, you know, what am I trying to say? It should be okay to miss certain things.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's like reflecting on it as well, like, I just think relationships are so these days, like there's hard parts to them that weren't harder back in the day. And there's also easier parts where it's acceptable now to be able to complain about your partner. Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Where back in the day it was like, oh no, closed doors, behind closed doors, there's no issues. Like,
I think yes, healthy, and some people are still like that. Absolutely. And that's why I think our podcast is going to be good for some people that still might be like that, because I really want to challenge that way of thinking and be like, no, but your life will be better when you can be open and when you can encourage others. I feel really passionate about that. And that's why my Instagram is so open and so raw, because I feel like we deserve it. We absolutely really deserve it.
And at a time over the last 2 years where COVID has hit, like, you know, that I think that's been good for you, Ash, because, you know, you had Vinny in the mix of COVID, and like usually when you go connect with other mums and you connect with your friends and you can complain about how hard things are, like you couldn't do that. And I think that's super important now more than ever that we are still being super connected, because I'm really worried about especially our kids, you know, who were born in COVID, in a sense of their connection to others and even mum's connection to others. And even like on the other side, you know, any chance I'll get, I'll come down to see you and Vinny, because, you know, I, and even my other friends' kids, because I really value when I was little. Like I remember my mum's best friends always playing with me and always connecting with me, and mum would make me talk to them on the phone when I didn't want to, but like, and they were overbearing, but like I love them now and they're still my aunties. Like that stopped with COVID and I hate that, and that connection we can't, and I think we need to complain about it. Like that is shit for relationships. Yeah. And even I think it puts a burden on our relationships. You know, me and Gary were stuck at home together, working from home together at the same table, exercising together. Like that's not natural.
I'm just hearing a collective sigh of people listening to this episode going, ugh. We were all there and we all hated it.
Yes. And, you know, kudos to those who actually, you know what I think, you know, everyone's like, kudos to those that got through lockdown. But you know what? Kudos to those who actually split up in lockdown because they realized that that's not what they wanted. Like, good for you. Like, I know that's sad, and I know, but like,
I haven't really heard of it, of that happening. I didn't really think that was a thing, but I'm assuming, of course, it would be, because
good for you. Like, maybe that's like a blessing of COVID as well. You know, being with someone that whole time, but also on the other hand, like, that's not natural either. Like, I suppose, you know, yes, me and Gary still together, strong, getting married, but like, you know, it would be sad if we split up because we couldn't handle each other 24/7.
The next question was, if you are in a relationship, do you sometimes wish you only had yourself to look after? And only 66% people said yes, which there was a lot of people that said no to that, and I just thought it was normal. We all, you know, everyone wants to only have themselves to look after, but a lot of people obviously happy with how their lives are, and that's great, and I'm happy with how my life is, but I sometimes just want to be by myself.
Well, I see with that question though, and I think, you know, even when I was like quite younger, and like, you know this too, Asha, like, I've always been quite protective, like, and the job I'm in, like, I'm a social worker, you know, you usually support and look after others who are struggling. Like, I don't, if I was reading that question and it wasn't our podcast and I would to vote, I think I'm always going to be a person who likes to look after others. Like, I do put myself second. Like, I usually do think of others before me. And I'm not saying that to be like, oh, I'm a good person, but like, I've just, I'm like, wired like that. So like, I always...
sometimes do you wish you only had to worry about yourself?
I don't know. Like, I don't know if that would, I don't know. Like, cause I've never thought of it in that sense because, and I obviously don't have kids yet. So, and I do have a dog. Fuck, he's annoying today. He's barking. If you hear him in the background, guys, I'm sorry. I don't know. Like, I'm always been like, even like, it's so random. It's like, even when we cook dinner, I'll always like give others their dinner first. And I know that's like a small example, but even
That's like, I feel like that's a polite thing to do.
No, but like, but all the time, like, even if I don't have to, like, you know, one of my good friends is living with us at the moment and she's quite capable and like, but I treat her like my daughter. Like, I'm like, here you go. Like, here you go. Like, oh, here you go. And she's like, no, I can do it. And I was like, no, I'm doing it anyway. Like, I don't know. Like, let's touch base in 2 years when I have kids. But like,
I'm going to ask you that question again when you're a mum, and you will probably go, why would I ever say no to that?
It's really random. And I think I think that stems back, like, in, you know, my mum, she's always been like that. She's always been like the caterer to others. And, but, you know, that's really hurt her in her life because right now she has never really done anything for her. So I need to really think about that. And, you know, I hate when people say you are your mother, but you do turn out like your mother, unfortunately. but like, I think I have to be really careful of that because like, I don't want to be like I love my mum to death, but I don't want to be like that where she's 55 years old and she's still like catering to her partner. Like, it's like, fuck, like, they're 50 years old. Like, let's do things. So like, I have to be really careful about that, I think.
That's fair enough. I think, I think that I love looking after my husband and my son. And I love my life so much. Oh my God, I love my life. But there are just a lot of times where I just think, oh, I just want to eat my dinner in bed, watch a movie. I don't want to have to worry about them. And I think, sometimes I just need a bit of alone time to refresh that fuel tank and then I'm good to go again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next question was, what's the most daunting part about commitment for you? Because obviously this triggered... This is what we were kind of talking about with getting married and that moment. Mm. What is the daunting parts of it? And we've kind of already said ours when we said about how we feel about getting married.
Yeah. There was one, that I know you're going to read out the... Oh, my God, you've got to edit that out. Got the sneezing attacks. Maybe don't edit it out. True. What surprised me in that one, in a sense of, oh my God, I got to do it again. Oh my God. Fucking hell. Anyway, start again. What I really surprised me in that is that I seen a few, because we have some of our friends on our Instagram page. I seen one of my good friends comment on that one and talk about her struggles with feeling like she's not contributing financially as much as her partner. And
a lot of people said that. Yeah. A lot of people spoke about finances.
Mm-hmm. And that's like, that's a bit of a trigger for me. And like, we're very good friends and we have talked about that a little bit, but I didn't know that that was something that kind of, I'm not, it maybe is not affecting her, but for her to, you know, verbalize that on our public podcast, I'm like, ah, and she's now pregnant as well. It's really hard. And I think it's really important to like really shout out the difference between the gender, like men and women and their work. So, and in their careers. So like a lot of men have careers that earn a lot of money and a lot of women go into that caring profession. So you've got your nurses, your teachers, your social workers, you like it's, and you've got all like a lot of men that do like tradie. They do, you know, mine work. They do that hands-on stuff that usually earns them a bit more money. So, and especially on our following, there's a lot of women. Like, I'm not surprised that they said that their main fear is that financial side, because if you're going to have kids, you're going to have time off, and that means you have to plan for it. And as much as supportive your partner is, it's still less money. It's still the conversation around, okay, what are we not going to have? And also, what am I not going to be able to have? And also, I think the man has to realize that he's not going to be able to have the same life he has as well. Like, I don't know. And that you, like, you're in that right now. And that's something me and Gary talk about, in a sense that he can't understand why I am freaking out about when we have kids and going off work and that finance side, because he's like, we'll be fine. I was like, you'll be fine and our bills will be paid. But what about me? Like, you know, going back to that selfishness, like, what about like getting my hair done? And what about, you know, me wanting to get a facial, or, you know, going out for lunch with the girls? And when I have that conversation with him, he's really shocked around. He's like, as if I wouldn't let you do that. I'm like, ah, there, you said let. Like, does that mean I have to, your permission? Like, and when I say that, he's really thrown back. And I think it's super, like, it'd be really interesting to see, do other people have this conversation and do they feel weird about it? Because it comes back from me being super independent. I've always paid for my own things and I've always been lucky enough to have, we've been working since we've been fucking five. So we've always had money. Like, our families may not have had money, but we've always dealt with our own money. You know, take us back to the holidays at Red Rooster. When we go on holidays, we'd get a Boost juice, we'd get Macca's, we'd get whatever. We were able to do that. We're able to budget and be independent and not have to ask our parents for that. So yeah, so that's really hard for me. That's probably really long-winded, but that's been really hard for me. And when seeing that, I'm like, I don't feel so alone when I see those things, which is good.
I'm going to take you through my top three, my favorite three replies to this question. Yep. The first one is, where to begin? Seeing my parents' marriage, relationship problems, abuse, affairs, all big contributing factors. And I thought to myself, how important that we also flag that some of our own childhood traumas and things that we've been through, watching other relationships really shape our ideas and our perspectives of commitment and what people in our past have done with that. So that was a really interesting point.
Yeah, that's the next one. Super important, I think, before we go into the next one. That's hard. And I think a lot of people don't talk about that, in a sense of like when they have a breakdown of relationships and they, or they feel like they can't find the right partner. I think people forget that you really have to reflect on what you've been through as a child, because that shapes us. You know, I don't think that, you know, just because you've experienced trauma as a child that you're going to be fucked up for the rest of your life. But we really do have to look at that and be like, okay, what do I want and what don't I want? And if you don't know yet, you got to figure it out for you. Like, you've got to be good for you before you can, you know, provide and be in a partnership with someone else, or it is going to, you know, not be the best relationship for you at that time. So I think it's super important that we have to reflect on that. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, I had a shit childhood, it'll be fine. It's like, yeah, it will be fine and you probably will be good, but like, reflect on it, please. From the social worker, reflect on it.
Yeah, 100%. The next one, it says, for someone to accept all of myself and my family, we are a package deal. I like this because it's flagging that our families are full of emotional baggage and are full of maybe some weirdos and some challenging behaviors. And we want to make sure that whoever we choose to spend our life with can handle that, or can at least respect what we want for our own family. That was a big thing that I was scared about with Glenn.
Yeah.
I'm not going to talk too much about my family issues on here, but I was really scared that he wouldn't want to be with me because of those issues.
Mm.
And he's been really great about it all, and really supportive and just constantly telling me, you know, it's my choice. I've been through it. I get to decide.
Yeah.
But that was something that I was really nervous about when thinking of introducing him to my family, of him bringing him into that side of things.
Yeah.
It's hard. And yeah. The last one is the idea of vulnerability and risking heartbreak, which I feel like I like this because it's broad. It sets you up for, if I go into this, will I get my heart broken? Will this destroy me?
Absolutely.
Because I'm sure us and people that are listening have had maybe a breakup or a few where it has been traumatic.
Oh, absolutely.
Where it's been like damaging for ourselves. Yeah. So I think the idea of that happening again is so scary. And that's why we automatically fear commitment, because what if we get our heart broken again?
And I think this one for me, this answer for me really hit home with me, because I really feel that. My whole life I have gone into relationships with like, I'm going to be your friend because like I value friendship and like I think that I'm a really good friend. But I also, from upon my reflecting and like my own personal journey, I reflect on that. Like, I used to do that. And I did that with Gary. Like, me and Gary were seeing each other, bunny ears, everyone, for like over a year. And that was me. Like, and that was full me in a sense, because I didn't want to commit because I didn't want to be hurt. And I didn't want to show him that I really liked him because I didn't want that fear of rejection. Like, rejection for me is probably my main emotion that I don't do well. Like, it's like embarrassment and rejection for me, which is ironic because I'm a dickhead and I embarrass myself all the time. But in that vulnerability, rejection and embarrassment, I can't do it. I've never been able to do it well. And when I look back at all my other relationships, you know, like teenage relationships, you know, the early 20s relationships, that's hit me hard. So I can really see how people don't want to go into relationships like that, because I almost didn't. I'm pretty sure Gary was almost done with me at that 12-month mark. He's like, so
Yeah, you were really hesitant.
Yeah.
I remember that.
And it wasn't him. And I need to be really clear. It was me. It was full me. And it was, I knew I really liked him. Like, I loved him, but it was like, I didn't know if he could show that to me. Like, it was a weird thing. It was a weird thing. So that answer really hits home for me. So shout out to whoever said that. I'm with you, Dal. I'm with you.
Then the next question was, what would you say to people about to get married or who are newly married? So we have this is for me too. Yeah. We have some answers here that I want to read out. there's a specific one to you. It says, dear Raquel and Gary, I know you two will be amazing and have a beautiful, long love story because you both respect each other as people and each other's beauty.
Bless you. I know who that was. Bless you.
Yeah. And so some more were be open about everything, talk, soak it all in. It's a beautiful journey. Love like it's your last day. Don't sweat the small stuff. Nothing changes, really. It's just a premium service of dating.
And you definitely do pay the monthly fee.
That's my favorite. It's like Spotify premium. Yeah. Marriage is just relationship premium.
I love that.
Chris. Oh, sorry. I'll have to edit that out. I just said her name. The next one is talk about how you envision your future with your partner as much as possible. Disagreeing and arguments are part of the process of fitting your life into theirs, as long as those arguments don't become fights or anger because they're different. But don't feel bad about not seeing eye to eye on everything. So some really good insights there into just how to deal with, you know, marriage, being with the same person all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Do you know what a wise
hang on woman hang called? On a second hang on a second Hey babe,
how you feeling, Glenn?
We're just recording a podcast, so can you be quiet?
So on this note, a wise woman told me that I worked with, and she's still a very good friend of mine. For her husband and her have been married for 22 years. They're married 18, like their family is goals. I'll tell you, goals. But she said to me, her husband's not her best friend. And she's really open about that. She said her husband is her life partner and someone that she cherishes and loves, but her girlfriends are her best friends because they have been there for her and they are there for her in a different way than her husband is for her. And she said to me that that's why she believes that her marriage is so strong and has lasted for so long, because she doesn't pretend to herself that her husband is her best friend and the be all and end all, because she said to me, he's not. You know, there's some things, we're not the same person and we're not, we don't have the exact same values and opinions, but my girlfriends usually do. And she's like, so she said to me, and because when we were talking about marriage, she's like, I love the fact that I can say my girlfriends are my best friends and I have a different relationship, a different love with them to her husband. And I just really, that sits with me. I think that really sits with that question around the advice that you'd give to people who are newly married or about to get married. Because I hear all the time, which if your husband's your best friend and your partner's your best friend, like that's fine. But
well, that's what I wanted to say. I disagree with that, which is interesting because obviously this podcast is dedicated to different opinions on things and how we structure and reflect on things. But I would disagree with that because I see Glenn as my best friend. I feel like if I had to choose someone to go and do something with, I'd choose him. And I'm a bit different to you. I have a few really good friends, but none of them live close to me.
Yeah.
So it's a bit different. Like I don't really have that best friend that I'm going to go hang out with if I can. Like he's that person that I'll do everything with.
Yeah.
And I like that. I think I really do like that. And a lot of people, because the next question is, what do you love about your relationship? And most of the answers are people saying he is my best friend.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting that, you know, it doesn't, there's no right or wrong here. This is just our own experiences and our own ideas.
And I think for me, like I've really separated that for me, is because I'm the same too. Like my good friends don't live here. Well, one of my best friends does live here now, but this is the first time in almost 10 years that I've been around my good girlfriends. The reason why I've separated that is because I think I need that to be able to feel in control. And I know that comes back to that control issue around choosing who I'm going to hang out with and who I'm not, but me and Gary don't have the same interests. Like, and we don't have, yeah, it's weird. Like we don't have this, like we do things together and we do adventurous stuff together, but we have completely separate interests. And so for us, we're really comfortable to go off and do our own thing and then come back and do our things that we love doing together. So like our interests combine, but we have completely separate interests that I don't have to get involved with, you know, and I hear all the
Maybe I was like that before we had Vinny. Maybe I was like that, but now it's like anything we want to do, it's with Vinny.
So sure.
We want, so yeah, maybe that's why, because yeah, even like every weekend, Glenn will be like, what are we doing this weekend? And it's like, yeah. Okay, where are we going to go? What are we going to do together? So maybe it has changed.
Yeah, maybe yeah. And with kids, I think it will change because you've got to be able to, you know, their interests usually come first, which I get that. But yeah, so I do see it. And I wonder, like, you know, and I do hear that all the time, but I wonder if people actually thought about what the best friend means to them. Because like with Gary, I love him and he's my life partner and I'm going to cherish the years I have with him. But I also cherish the years that I have with my girlfriends and my friends that have been with me longer than Gary. Like, so that's what I see. And you know me, loyalty is part of my blood. And like, I just think when it comes down to it, if I had a situation where I had to choose between, not choose, but like situation-wise, like between Gary and a really good friend, and I'm not just talking about like a friend you work with or whatever, but like one of your girlfriends or whatever, I would find it really hard. And that's at a point of mine.
Yeah. I think I'm very different to you with friends. Like, obviously, like you're probably, you know, you're one of my best friends, but I've never been like a really, I don't know. I'm a bit of a weirdo. I have a few good, like really good friends, but in my life, I've always usually had like one best friend. Like in high school, I had one best friend. In uni, I had one best friend.
Yeah.
In my single days, I had one best friend, and they've always changed. And now it's like, I don't really have that one best friend. I have my really close, you know, best friends.
Yeah.
You know who you are. And then.
Thank you.
I don't know. That's making me really reflect on my friend situation. It's not a Sex in the City situation in my life. I don't have that little clique. I just have my weirdos that are spread out everywhere.
And I think, like, you know, and it comes back, like, you, again, you've always been really, you've been like that. Where for me, I don't know if it comes back because I know, like, you're not an only child, but you've got siblings, but they've been a bit separated from you, haven't really grown up with them as such in the same house. But I think being an only child has forced me to make siblings. So like if you're been my friend for that long, you're my sibling, you're my sister, you're like, and that's how that I've mentally done that, because I do see
those close friends that I mentioned, I see them as family. Yeah. Like I really do see them as never leaving, because they're always you know, they're always there. And they're always who I visit when I go home or when I,
And you know what's happening in their life, even though you haven't spoken to them in a while. And I think that's
you can go 8 months without talking. Like, absolutely. I can go 8 months without talking to a friend. And then when we call, it's like, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, that's fine. Absolutely. And I think it stems from, like, you know, my mum is one of seven siblings. Like, so I have six aunties and uncles and like 20 cousins. And our family is like a weirdo. Like, it's like, you are close to them, even if. Fuck me. What the fuck was that? What? I'm really fucking annoyed. Were you talking still?
It just went. Raquel, no, it didn't say anything. It just came up this thing saying, you are now the host and like you'd left. And I was like, Raquel's now left the chat.
When someone leaves the group chat.
Oh my God. Fucking hell. Okay. Fucking hell. That was hilarious. Okay.
Oh my God. Sorry. I don't know.
Keep going because we were on a roll and then you just left. Oh. Keep going.
Oh my God. What
we were talking about. We went on this really side track about best friends, but I'm going to come back to it because I'm going to say we were chatting about it because we were saying the question was, what do you love about your relationship? And so many people said he or she is my best friend. Mm. Some others were, we're just two goobers in love. His support and affection. He's always there to make me laugh, the best teammate.
We had a single person comment and say, if I found the right person, I wouldn't be opposed to the idea of commitment. I would just try to be more open-minded. I think I would love the idea of having a best friend to do life with on that level. And I thought that was nice. Like, it's something that that person is striving for or would love to find. Ever-growing and evolving love, how our differences complement each other, we're stronger together. Oh, I feel this too. I really do. Respects my choices, that I get to spend every day with my best friend, laughter and never being alone. My person, I know he loves me, that we're so different. We balance each other out. Silliness, sharing special moments, supportive, leaning on, looking forward to coming home to and building a future with. I love those. Is that nice?
It is nice.
Even though some days we wish we didn't have them, we're very grateful for them.
Absolutely. And,
you know, it's okay. The whole point of this, I think, is to come back to, it's okay to wish that you slept in a bed by yourself sometimes.
For sure.
It's okay to miss those crazy single nights out. It's okay to miss all these things, but how grateful and are we that, you know, we found a person that we can openly say, I will commit to
absolutely
seeing this person every day. So I think that's really nice. I've really enjoyed these stories and hearing from other people about how they feel around the topic, hearing from single people about what they love about being single, and that their life's not a race. You don't have to be in a relationship. You don't have to be married, whatever you're doing.
Absolutely.
Like, do it with love, do it well, and like, just enjoy yourself.
Absolutely. And be your true authentic you. Like, I think that's super important, especially in a commitment and relationship around, like, you know, I am marrying Gary because this is the first relationship that I've ever had where I can be truly authentically me and not have to apologize for it. Like, I am who I am.
Yes.
And that's who I've always been. Like, you've known me since basically childhood, Ash. I've always been like, I am who I am and fuck you. But when it comes to relationships, sometimes you change yourself, and I've changed myself in past relationships.
Ooh, yeah.
And I haven't liked that. I've had to hide certain parts of me, and I don't have to do that with Gary. And that's what I've, you know, would like to give, if I can, my wisdomly in a relationship advice to single people out there. Like, I know it's a cliche, and I used to fucking hate when people used to say this to me when I was single. I could have soccer punched them, like, fuck off, in a sense. You just know. And if you don't, like, you, of course you always have doubts, but when you know.
Oh yeah, doubts are normal.
But when you know, you know. And I hate that, because I'm like, oh, okay, like, sure.
Okay, then, thank you.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
But it's true. And I you know, my hope is that you are open-minded about that. And, you know, that's rich coming from me after I shared a whole year of like, I don't know. But it wasn't. I knew. I was just being stubborn. But
yeah. Yeah.
My wordly.
Well,
wordly,
how do you feel after that little therapy session with Belle? How are you feeling about getting married in 2.5 weeks?
I am feeling good about marrying Gary. I'm hoping the government will let me marry Gary. So if you're out there, ScoMo, and you're listening to Dead Set Dags, let me get married. Please. I will vote for you next time if you let me get married.
You are a dead set dag.
I am a dag.
I actually had someone say to me, I'll just say the other day, someone was like, you're a dag. You're a dag. And I was like, thank you.
Oh, my God. I was like, do you follow my podcast?
We launch soon, 27th December. Okay, well, I've got to go because Vinny looks like he's waking up from his nap.
You, Vinny.
But this was fun. Let's do it again next week.
Yay. All right.
Thanks for listening, guys. I hope you had fun. I hope you learned something because, you know, we're all about education and therapy here at Dead Set Dags. Not really. I don't fucking know. I don't know what I'm saying.
Education on the dag life.
We're going to have no ending for this episode. It's just going to go. All right. Thanks for listening. That was fun.
Bye.
Coming up on Dead Set Dags. I'm so excited to talk about this. This is my jam. This is my thing. I want to name and shame this behavior because
there's been so many photos that I've been in that I've been like, oh, my arm looks quite big in that.
Yes.
Oh my God. Just take a moment when you think that to be like,